All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. That testimony was amazing. Being able to preach your dad's funeral. Ralph, God bless you. Man, that's awesome. I tell you what, six people are going to be in heaven as a result. And just, it's amazing what the Lord enables you to do. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about going into the ministry, and I said, oh, my soul, there's no way, Lord, there's no way I could ever do that. And I argued vehemently with the Lord about that matter. I said, man, they're going to laugh at you and me both. They're going to laugh at me for saying you called me, and they're going to laugh at you for calling me. So I don't know how this is going to work, but I had to eventually surrender. The Lord just wouldn't leave me alone. And so thank the Lord for what it's the Lord that does it. That's for sure. All right. I need to read. I really need to read this whole chapter. So be patient and just follow along. And I'm going to emphasize just a couple of things as I read it to you tonight. And I want you to see the title of my sermon tonight is Abraham's Vision. Abraham's Vision. You know, vision is important. Pastor Atkinson said a moment ago, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you will look up that word, the word, it means a mental image. Where there is no vision, where there is no mental image of God. And that goes along with what I preached this morning. We've got all this unbelief in our world. Well, here's Abraham. Now, get his picture. Imagine his situation. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, and God called him in chapter 12, and he left there with a promise. That's all he had, though, was a promise. And he got down into the land of Canaan, and when he got down there, he had to go to war. He had to fight against the northern kings. And we're going to read about that in reference to it in just a moment. But you read about that in the 14th chapter. And if you look at verse 1, it came to pass in 14:1, it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer. That kid was probably 14 years old before he learned how to spell his name, wasn't he? Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. And these made war. And Abraham got drawn into the war. And if you read about this 14th chapter, you find out that God blessed Abraham greatly in that war. God delivered him. God strengthened him and made him a great leader among the kings and the people of the south. All right, so look at verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 1. We then, after this war and after great victory that was given by the Lord to Abraham, we read these words. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So after Abram was obedient and he came to Canaan, God blessed him. He got into a war, but God blessed him in the war. You know, God never promised us flowery beds of ease. There's struggles along the way, is there not? I mean, you know, if everything went smoothly, you'd think something was up, wouldn't you? I would. It's just always something. And so after the victory and after God blessed in a great way, Abraham received a vision because he needs to realize that right now all he's got's a promise. And God was just, with every step of Abraham's obedience, God revealed more of what he was going to do. And that's how it works. We walk by faith. And as we're faithful in the things that God calls us to do and asks us to do, then God provides and he reveals more and he blesses more. And so Abraham was obedient. He came to the land. Yeah, a war broke out. And yes, he got dragged into it. But God blessed him in the war. God blessed him in a great way. And he was delivered through it. And his people were delivered through it. And so the point is, God's not done with him yet. There's still more that has to be done connected to the promise. And so what's the Lord say? Fear not, Abraham. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So Abraham's a little confused here. And so in verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And that's a reference to Ishmael. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So the promise just continues to unfold. All right? It just continues to be revealed. And so Abraham says, Lord, I understand that you're my shield and my exceeding great reward. But now let me remind you, you brought me out of Chaldea. You brought me down here to Canaan. You gave me this promise. You delivered me into war. I appreciate it. I'm thankful. But let me remind you, I'm still childless. You said you were going to make a nation from my seed, and I'm still childless. And so look at what God does in verse 5. In verse 5, and he brought him, God brought him, Abram, forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. You ever try to count the stars at night? You can't do it. I mean, after a little while, you go, well, there's a whole bunch up there. And that's the point here. God says, Abraham, come here. Look up at the stars. You see all those stars up? Can you count those stars? No, Lord, I can't count all those stars. And neither will you be able to count your descendants. Trust me. Trust me. And verse 6, here's what happened. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Right there is where Abraham got it settled. I mean, right there is where Abraham just settled the deal. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he, God, said unto him, Abraham, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in their midst and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. Now you say, well, Pastor, what in the world? Well, I'll explain what this is in just a moment. But what he asked God for for a covenant, a sign, an agreement that what God said he was going to do, he was going to do. And this was an agreement that they made. They took these animals and slaughtered them, cut them in halves, and laid them in order. And I'll explain all this in just a moment, why they did this. And then you get the idea that Abraham stood there from early in the morning all through the day and waited. When the birds came, he shooed them away. And then it got nighttime. Look at verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he, God, so he went into a sleep, and he had another vision, dream, if you will, or vision. And in this sleep, this horrible thing happened. This great darkness fell upon him. And he, God, verse 13, said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, if you mark in your Bible, would you just take a pen and in the fly leaf of your Bible, write these two words, Egypt's coming. That's what God was telling Abraham was coming. Egypt is coming. God told Abraham that this nation that would be born of his seed was going to have to go down to Egypt and serve the Egyptians for 400 years. Egypt's coming. Folks, listen, nothing ever surprises God. Nothing that happens in your life or mine ever sneaks up on God. He's fully aware of everything. Verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, now watch this now, in the same day, the Lord made a, what's the next word? Covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, that's the Nile River, from the Nile River unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, do you know where the Euphrates River is? It's in Iraq. God promised Abraham before Isaac was even born. And he made a covenant with him. And he sealed that covenant with this vision that we read about in this chapter. And God promised that your seed will possess this land, and it will possess it from the Nile River in Egypt to the Euphrates River up here in Iraq. Not just that little tiny box that is along the Mediterranean River, Mediterranean Sea, but no, they're going to possess the land from the Nile River, Egypt, all the way up to the Euphrates River in Iraq. That means Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq. They're going to have all of that region one of these days. That's the promise that God made. All right, now, that's Abraham's vision. Now, let's pray, and then I'll give you a few introductory remarks and then show you some things tonight about this vision and apply it to our lives today. Let's pray. Father, help us now. What an amazing chapter this is. And I pray that you will bless the Word of God as it is explained and preached tonight. Help us, Father, to be able to take these principles that we see and apply them and use them for ourselves, that we might be greater Christians and better Christians as a result of what we hear tonight. And I just pray that you will fill me with your Spirit now and help me as I speak. And guide and direct us, Lord. We need to hear from heaven tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we have spent a great deal of time on Wednesday nights recently in the book of Genesis. And I want to speak to you tonight on this 15th chapter of Genesis that tells us something about Abraham and about his faith and about the promise of an heir that was given to him by God all the way back in the 12th chapter. And I think that this is a chapter that is often overlooked, but there are some great things that I think we can pull out of this chapter. All right, let me remind you that Abraham was a stranger in the land. When he came down into the land, he was not from Canaan. He came down as a pilgrim, as a wanderer, as a stranger in the land. Once in the land, he had to fight against an alliance of northern kings. And in the 14th chapter, you can read how the Lord gave him a great victory. And then as soon as the war was over and the victory was won, Abraham settles back in the land to return to his shepherd life. As things calm down, peace is back in the land of Canaan. But we can understand how Abraham might have had some fears and some misgivings about the battles that he had just won. Yes, he had been successful. He had successfully driven back a confederation of northern kings who had united together to conquer the Canaan. But would Chedorlaomer and all the rest of those guys calmly take defeat and realize their place and be good little boys? Well, Abraham probably didn't think so, and probably nobody else thought so. It was not likely that they would remain calm. And everybody knew that these northern kings would not stay quiet for long, but would regroup and come with all their might to seek revenge against Abraham and against his allies in the land of Canaan. And you know, it's usually in the days and hours that follow our great victories that we are attacked by the devil with thoughts of the worst of what could happen. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham. Fear and discouragement came rolling over his heart, and he thought that surely all was soon to be lost. And it was then that God showed up in this vision of chapter 15, and it is here where God spoke to Abraham. God said to him, "Fear not, Abram, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Folks, I want you to notice how timely that assurance was. Do not miss how the Lord came exactly when Abram needed assurance from the Lord. God spoke to him at the exact time that he needed it the most. And you see, that's the way life is. It is battle after battle after battle. Abraham knew it wasn't over with his enemies to the north, but in his greatest hour of darkness, the Lord showed up. The light of the Lord came shining forth to guide him and to show him the way. Abraham was learning what we all come to learn in the Christian life, and that is that the message of God meets our peculiar need each and every day as we live the Christian life. When the darkness falls around us, God is our light. He is there to shine and show us the way to go. When we're surrounded by the enemy, we have the word of God that says, "Fear not, I am thy shield." Now, after the promise was made in verse 1, Abraham turned and said, "Well, wait a minute, Father. I appreciate what you did for me back in the battle, and I appreciate the promise that I just received from you, but let me take you back to the original promise that you made me in chapter 12. Let me take you back to that. I'm in the land now, and I have done what you asked me to do. But Father, I still do not have an heir. I still do not have a son, a child." And what he is arguing is this. He is saying, "Lord, what is the use of all these other blessings if I have to go childless?" So God reiterated the promise made to him years earlier when Abraham was in the land of Chaldea. In verse 5, God said, "Abraham, come here. Look up in the night sky." And he looked up in the sky and he said, "Now, Abraham, when you look up in that night sky and you see all those stars, I want you to realize I made those stars." Amen. I made those stars. Folks, you want to get a blessing, walk out tonight before you go in to go to sleep. Go outside tonight and step away from the outside light and look up in that night sky if it's not cloudy and just stand there in awe of what God did with his own hand. I mean, stop and realize that God made all those stars. It says so right here in verse 5. And God said to him, "Now, Abraham, if you can count all those stars, so shall thy seed be." And right there in verse 6 is when Abraham got it settled and he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, that's the story. And the rest of this chapter is how God confirmed his faith, how God confirmed his promise. The first thing I want you to see tonight, I want you to see that God gave Abraham a sign of his inheritance. Now, when I read this to you tonight and read to you what God told him to do, you might have thought, "What in the world are they talking about here? Take these animals and cut them in halves? What in the world's that?" Well, this type of covenant was a ritual that was well understood in Old Testament days. Today, in our quote-unquote civilized world, we do things a little different. But make no mistake about it, we still sign covenants. Okay? What we do today is we use lawyers. All right? What do you call a lawyer buried in the sand to right there? Not enough sand. All right, just making sure you're awake. Right, brother? Not enough sand. Okay? Now, here's the sign. This was, back in Bible times, they didn't have, you know, so-and-so Esquire. You know, a little placard outside his tent. No. Here's what they did. If two people were going to enter into a covenant, an agreement, all right, let's say that you live back in Bible time and you're going to buy a piece of property off of somebody. All right. What did you do? You didn't go down to the lawyer and draw up a contract and get the lawyers together and get the bank involved. And no, you none of that existed. So what you did was your handshake, your word. You remember those days? I mean, if two people are entering into a contract, they write it down on a piece of paper. They have it signed. They have it witnessed. They have it authorized. They have it stamped. They have it sealed in some way. And then it's legal and it's binding. But back in Old Testament times, such a thing was not yet developed. I remember seeing my grandfather make deals on a handshake and his word. I remember that. But those days are sadly long gone. And one symbol that they used was to take certain animals, cut them in half, laying the halves opposite of each other on the ground, end to end, and then the two agreeing partners would walk down the space in between where they laid the halves. And the two would walk down together, and when they got to the end of it, they would then turn and shake hands. And what they were saying was that if either of us goes back on our word, if we renege on what we said we're going to do, then let us be like these animals. Let us be slain. If our word is not any good, we are not any good and don't deserve to live. And that was the idea behind it. It was a solemn thing. It was a symbol that meant that if either proved false to their bond, they were to meet the same fate as these bleeding and mangled animals that were laying on the ground before them. All right, so here's what happened. Abraham, God told Abraham, now Abraham, this is what you do. And he understood, he knew what it meant. And so Abraham did it. Now you kind of get the idea that Abraham did it early in the day. He took these animals, divided them, laid them out on the ground, and then stood and waited on the Lord to show up. You see, if you're going to have a contract between two people, you got to have both people there. You with me? So he's standing there. The animals are split. They're laid out, so to speak. And Abraham's standing there saying, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And the Lord doesn't show up. So he waits throughout the day. The Lord doesn't show up. Well, the sun's baking, the stench is rising, and the buzzards are starting to fly. The crows are showing up. And one of them decides to come in, said, the old man looks asleep to me. I'm going to go see if I can get a nibble. He flies down. Abraham shoos him away. Oh, this is sacred. This is binding. This is real stuff for Abraham. And he spends all day long keeping the birds off of him. You with me so far? But God doesn't show up. The heavens were silent. So all day long, Abraham stood guard, waiting on God. What was he waiting on God for? He was waiting on God to come and take him by the hand and walk through the carcasses as a sign that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And don't forget, this was God's idea, not Abraham's. This was God's idea. So what happened? Well, night came. It got dark. And when it got dark, Abraham fell asleep. And in his deep sleep, he saw the exact scene that he had been watching over all day long in a dream. And suddenly, in his dream, there moved a burning lamp. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. When it got dark, he fell asleep. And then he saw in his sleep the same scene that he had been watching over all day long. And suddenly there moved a burning lamp. And beside the burning lamp was a smoking furnace. You see that in your Bible? Now, what was the lamp? The lamp was the light of God. And it was a vision of the brightness of God's glory. What was the smoking furnace? Was it not Abraham and Abraham's seed with their dark yet fiery trials that they would have to face? Look at verse 13. God said the day was coming when Abraham's seed would end up in a land not theirs, speaking of their 400 years in Egypt. It's interesting in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20, Moses described that 400 years that they were in Egypt as them being in a furnace of fire. Look it up. Deuteronomy 4, 20. So Abraham knew that the covenant had to be made and it had to be signed and it had to be sealed and it had to be delivered. The word of God was sealed and the covenant could not be broken. When the furnace and the burning lamp met and walked down between the carcasses. God didn't show up in the day, but God showed up in the night as a burning lamp. And that represented God. And the smoking furnace represented Abraham and the nation that would be born from his loins. Now, watch this, folks. That's the chapter. Everybody understand the chapter now? Do you see it? My, what a beautiful picture this was. But now, second thing I want you to see, what can we glean from this? What can we learn from this? All right, here it is, folks. Listen. The increase of knowledge brings the increase of sorrow. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, and when the sun was going down, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. If you go back to verse 2, Abraham wanted to know more about what God was going to do with him. And that was when God gave him more knowledge about it. Folks, if you start back in chapter 12, God said, Abraham, get up and get out. That's all he said. Get up and get out. Well, okay, Lord. So he got up and he got out. What did he do? Came to Canaan. He said, okay, Lord, I'm here. Now what? Well, now that you're here, chapter 13, verse 14, he said, here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to look north, south, east, and west. So he looked north. And then he looked to the south, and then he looked to the west, and then he looked to the east, and he said, okay, I've looked. What about it? He said, well, everything you see, Abraham, everything you see, I'm going to give it to you. Oh, that's more than he got back in chapter 12. But then in 13, 14, God just keeps unfolding the plan. And now he believed God. and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He got saved right here in verse 6. And when he got saved, God said, all right, now here's what I want you to do. Listen here, Abraham, with knowledge, and that's what I've been giving you, just more and more, with knowledge comes sorrow. I want you to understand, there's going to be 400 years. Oh, you're going to suffer. Your people are going to suffer. It's going to be bad. But know this, I will deliver you out of it. And not only will I deliver you out of it, I'll make of you a great nation. And not only that, one of these days, Abraham, because you believed me, because you trusted me, I'm making this promise and I've now sealed it with walking through the carcasses with you. And I want you to understand that the day is coming when your people are going to have this land from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River. But boy, the Jews have sure suffered, have they not? Almost completely wiped out many times. And if the Iranians have anything to say about it, they're going to be wiped out again. It's going to take God's protective hand. It's going to take God doing some miraculous things with the way things are going today. He learned, God was showing him that the increase of knowledge brings the increase of sorrow. When he left Chaldea to come to the land of Canaan, he only came with a promise of inheriting and possessing of land. But now he learns the pathway. Listen to me now. Get this, Christian. He learns the pathway to possessing the land meant going down to Egypt. And the pathway to possessing the land would lead them to slavery. It would lead them to oppression. It would lead them to 400 years of weariness and waiting. And all of that was revealed to him by the voice of God. Oh, it was a sad revelation, but it was a glorious revelation. They had to go down as a people into Egypt and suffer slavery and oppression. With the knowledge came a shadow that greatly darkened Abraham's world. But having to deal with sorrow does not negate God's promises. Christian, would you learn that lesson? I mean, look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. He said, in that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. This was all new information to Abraham. He had never heard this part of it before. Never heard it. God promised that the day would come when Israel would possess the land from the Nile all the way to the Euphrates. And here is the good news on this promise. Folks, this part of the promise has not yet happened. I mean, it's 2015, and this part of the promise has not yet happened. It did not happen under David. It did not happen under Solomon. It has not happened yet. Israel has never possessed all of the land God promised to Abraham right here. So you know what that means? That means that one day she will. One day God will do what he covenanted with Abraham in this chapter to do. From the Euphrates in the north, all the way down across the Suez Canal into Egypt's Nile, Israel will possess Muslim caliphate land. Amen and amen. Boy, I bet they, if they hear this, they're going to have a cow, aren't they? All right, now let's apply this to you and me, all right? Oh, I got glory bumps. I know what's coming. Let's apply this to you and me. What's God promised you? What's John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What's God promised you? A home in heaven. Eternal life. He has promised you eternal life. Not only that, he has, how about ruling and reigning with him? I told you, I've already asked God for Maryland. So y'all gonna have to ask for somewhere else. Lord, I want Maryland. I'm gonna straighten this mess out. Oh my soul, it's gonna be there's gonna be blood everywhere. Yes, indeed. But wait a minute, folks. This is the promise. This is what God covenanted with you and me about. Eternal life, heaven. But wait a minute. The devil is not about to let you get to your inheritance without dragging you down to Egypt and wearing you out along the way. Right? There will be Egypts on one border, and there will be Chedor Laomores on the other border, and all the while the Amorites will be growing in strength and number all around you. But wait a minute, Christian, hear the promise of God Almighty, and the promise is, fear not, I am your shield. And that brings me to one last principle. Listen to this. Where the furnace smokes. Remember now, the furnace is a picture of Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel. Where the furnace smokes, there is a lamp that burns. Do you see it? Where the furnace smokes, there is a lamp that burns. Don't forget, the lamp was the light of God. It was the vision of the brightness of God's glory. And what was the smoking furnace? It was Abraham and all of his seed with their dark, fiery trials. But where the furnace smokes, there is a lamp that burns. In other words, folks, the light of heaven is near us in our times of trouble. When in verse 12, the horror of great darkness falls upon us, and it will. It is good to know that God is our shield and is our exceeding great reward. God told Abraham there would be great sorrow for his people, for the seed that would come from his loins, that there would be great sorrow that they would have to face, and that for four generations his seed would suffer. But it would come to pass. Aren't you glad that it does not come to stay? It always comes to pass. And the Lord would be there, he said, to give them light. Folks, listen, God never promised us that it would be easy to live in this world. As a matter of fact, let me remind you, the Lord Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. And it's not going to get any easier as we see our world continue to go further and further, taking giant steps away from God and away from truth. But let's find comfort in taking a broad look at the promise that God made to Abraham. You see, this whole thing started in chapter 12. Get up, get out, and go. He did. He obeyed. In Bible theology, this is called the Abrahamic covenant. And in this chapter, The final terms of the covenant were given to Abraham. And it was sealed with the having of these animals and the parties making the covenant passing between them. And brethren, listen, I want you to know that if you are saved tonight, God has made a covenant with you. You say, is that right, Pastor? Yes. Take your Bible, please, and go over to the book of Hebrews. And I'll close. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 13. Hebrews 13. As the writer closes out this book in verse 20, here's what he says. Watch this now. I'll wait on you because I want you to see this. Everybody got it? Yeah. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, now, this is closing. This is his conclusion. Now, the God of peace that brought again the dead, from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the, what's the next word? Everlasting covenant. See, you got saved through the blood of the everlasting covenant that God made with you. You understand that? Look at verse 21. He said that the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, comma, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, folks, with the blood of his son, God has made an everlasting covenant with us. Did you ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart, cleanse you, make you a child of God? Did you ask him to do that? Amen. Amen. I did too. And when we did, God made an everlasting covenant with us. Notice the word that the Holy Spirit uses here. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, what does that mean? It means this, folks. On the day that you bowed your sinful, undeserving head and you called upon the name of the Lord, the blood of the Lord Jesus washed your old sinful heart clean. You were, at the moment you believed, eternally saved from the penalty of sin. The moment you got saved, God passed you from death unto life. All right, now, let me ask a question here. Ray, when were you saved? March 28th, 1975. All right, that means that on March the 28th, 1975, God entered into a covenant with you. He said, Ray, if you will believe on me, I will save you. Now look at your Bible, please. On March 28th, 1975, the day you got saved, Ray, the covenant was made with you, and that covenant is an everlasting covenant. Now, do you know what that means? That means that today, August the 9th, 2015, it is still that same covenant that was made back in 1975. That means today, Ray, that covenant that God made with you back then, the day you got saved, March 28th, 1975, it was an everlasting covenant when he gave it to you. And now in 2015, it's still an everlasting covenant. It's still lasting, folks. Now, let me ask you something. Have Where's your wife? Let me ask her. She's sick. Oh, my soul. Pastor Holbrook's sick, too. Everybody's sick. Who's not sick? Raise your hand. All right, y'all will be, okay? Watch, folks. I'll go ahead and ask you. I know you're going to lie to me. But you've sinned along the way, haven't you? Yeah. He didn't say that real convincingly because, you know, nobody wants to admit. Yeah, we've sinned. We've sinned. All right, let me ask you this, Ray. Did you sin last week? You did, didn't you? All right, so here's today. Let's go back a week. All right? You say you sinned last week, but you're still saved. You know why? Because it's an everlasting covenant. Why do people trip over this? And they have to invent stuff like, oh, well, if you sin, you've lost it. If I sin, that was a mistake. It really wasn't sin. What? But that's what they've done. But thank God it's an everlasting covenant. It was everlasting on March 28th. 1975, it was everlasting then, and now, August the 9th, it's still an everlasting covenant. Amen and amen. Man, I'm glad that when I got saved, God didn't lick my back, throw me against the wall, and hope I stuck. Good grief. No, He saved me. He made a covenant with me. And now I'm on my way to heaven. Not because of me, but because of Him. He is my shield and my defense. He is my strength. He is my light. He is my help. He is my God. He is my Father. He is my the salvation of my soul. He's the captain of my salvation. He's God. Man, I'm glad I'm in His hands. God has never failed on one promise. And folks, He never will. And so here's old Abraham. He's standing back here all day long. Lord, where are you? Lord, these things are starting to stink. The birds are starting to gather. Where are you, Lord? Nighttime falls. Abraham goes into a sleep and God shows up. And God took him by the hand and walked him down through that. And said, let's shake on this, Abraham. And it was settled. That old account was settled. And brethren, 1948, out of the ashes, God resurrected that nation. That nation sits today poised on all sides by an enemy that hates it with a passion. But it has a promise from God. And one day, from the Euphrates all the way down to the Nile, Abraham's seed will enjoy the land that God covenanted to give them. And you and I will enjoy heaven with the covenant that God has made with us. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What God promises to do, mark it down, He will do.